WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Comedian Bonnie Hunt has a new ABC sitcom called Life with Bonnie. She plays a woman with her hands full on two fronts. At work, she hosts the daily morning TV show Morning Chicago, in which she interviews guests, but is best known for her funny banter and monologues. At home, she has three kids and a busy husband who is a doctor. Life with Bonnie is Bonnie Hunt's fifth sitcom and the first that seems to be really catching on. Part of each episode features Bonnie hosting Morning Chicago. This part is improvised. Here she is on the air with the station's weatherman, Johnny Volcano, played by David Duchovny. Volcano has just made a new movie.
You know what? I'm embarrassed to start out with a question you probably get all the time. So many people in our business change their names to suit their jobs, and you have such a fantastic name for yes. A weatherman, Johnny Volcano.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
Are you really? That's not your real name, then?
No. My name was Victor.
Victor?
Victor Volcano.
I would have never guessed that. But, you know, there's a lot of things I don't know about you. Now you're making movies. That's very exciting.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of attention being generated by the film I did. A lot of heat, as we say. There's a buzz.
Buzz.
There's a buzzing.
Buzzing.
About the film that I did.
You mean in the film community?
No, in the weather community.
Well, it's certainly an untapped market. I mean, there's a lot of people out there in the weather community looking for entertainment. And you just one day you're doing the weather and you say, listen, I'm going to write and direct and act in this movie.
And star.
Star. Yeah. Write, direct, and starred. In,
Version equivalent.
A version equivalent. Well, it's the first
A.E.
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 Bonnie Hunt, welcome to Fresh Air. Because your character in Life with Bonnie is the host of a local morning TV show, you must have had to watch a lot of those shows so you'd know what you were writing. So did you spend a lot of time watching local and national talk shows?
No, I didn't, but I have spent a lot of time on those shows. As an actress, certainly one of at my level where you're a character actress, when a movie comes out like The Green Mile or Jerry Maguire or Jumanji, you're sent on the road and you go state to state every single day doing local morning talk shows. And I've done that for the last 10 years whenever I've had a movie come out. And it's been quite an experience. And it's been fun. You meet all these different characters and see the way these people's lives are and what their local shows, what's hip on them, what their little niche is, what their catchphrases are. But for the most part, this just stems from Don Lake and I just writing it as performers. You know, what would be a fun morning talk show? And mostly, too, it comes from Bonnie Malloy's point of view, you know, the character's point of view on the show.
Now, one of the things your character, Bonnie, is famous for is that she really doesn't read the books. And she does a lot of, like, cheating. And she's not famous for being prepared. She's famous for being funny and really entertaining and telling great stories. Did you get interviewed by a lot of people in those years on the road who really didn't have a clue who you were?
That is a great question. And absolutely, it happened all the time. And you can tell the difference when somebody's faking their way through an interview. And, you know, halfway through, you're finding yourself so insulted that you're thinking, I came down here at 6:30 a.m. and you haven't read one thing. At least read my resume. And that happens all the time. And I think for the character that I'm playing on the show, you know, her priority is her family and her children. And when she gets home, she's just deeply ensconced in that situation. So she's willing to forgo the reading of an extra book or whatever she has to prepare for the next day, and that she'll wing that part of her life, her professional part of her life, but not her personal part of her life.
Now, how did you learn how to wing doing an interview when the person interviewing you really didn't have a clue who you were?
I usually used humor. You know, I would just, sometimes I would call a spade and say, you don't know anything I've done, do you? And the crew would laugh, you know, the good morning, the whatever it was, crew would laugh. But for the most part, you know, you just get through the interview and hopefully have some honesty and integrity because people respond to it. They do. People at home watching either get it or they don't. And I certainly don't want to be a phony to them.
I think this is your fifth sitcom. Do I have that right?
Yes, my fifth time out.
And this one looks like it's doing very well in the ratings so far. Did you sit down and wonder what went wrong with the others? Why weren't they hits? And are there lessons I want to learn from that? Or things I want to ignore about those lessons because I just want to do it my way, one or the other? I mean, what kind of, like, diagnosis did you do on the other shows?
Well, it is true. You do take the time to reflect. I mean, not only during the process, but afterwards, and then when things don't pan out, you know, with the best case scenario, you do think, what could I change? What could I do differently? But I've always been fortunate enough to, in the moment, remember to fail by my own standards. So I live with little regret about those times. I always did my best job. I maintained my creative integrity. And when in doubt, I would walk out. And that's what I did with the building. I mean, that series was picked up by the network. It was renewed. But creatively, they wanted to make so many changes that I canceled it myself. And, you know, it was hard for them to understand that because I was turning down a lot of money. And the opportunity for a regular job in this business is very seductive. But I didn't regret that because that show became my calling card for the next show that I eventually wrote and produced, The Bonnie Hunt Show. And that had a similar fate. I was at the changing of the guard at the network, but it was a good show, and everybody, they did their best, but we just didn't get the ratings, and that happens. This show, I believe, I took the combination of what was best of those last two shows and the films that Don and I have written, and just the experience does help you a lot. Like you said, you know, what do you take? What did you learn? What do you forget? What do you bring back with you? You know, you do take an inventory, but for the most part, I knew I wanted to put myself in a situation where I could play at the top of my intelligence and yet be vulnerable. And I don't know if I had all those qualities in the other shows.
Can you describe some of the things the network wanted you to do to change the building, things you didn't like so that you ended the series?
Yeah, it was not so, you know, every time that they come to you with notes, if they're thought-provoking and we're all respectful to each other, I'm always willing to work at the table and negotiate creatively. My situation at CBS at the time was not one of creative respect. It was a constant power struggle. And when they came to me to discuss the show, it wasn't, we think this is best for the show, or we think this would be more creative. It was just, we want you to replace three of the actors with actors that we already have on hold at the network for development deals. It was not a decision that was made in the best interest of the show. It was just a decision that was made because there was somebody in a position of power that had people that were on hold and under contract they were paying money to that were just going to be plugged into my show. And I thought it would jilt it right out of everything that we had worked so hard up until that point to display and to build for our characters. And their theory, and I said, these are my friends that I work with. I do not want to call them and say, the show's picked up, but you're not on it. And the executive at the time offered to make the phone calls himself. And I said, that's really not the point. So, you know, it was a valuable lesson for me, and I'm sure for them as well. I mean, they came back to me 6 months later with double the money to do another series, and I did the next series with them, but not this one.
My guest is Bonnie Hunt. Her new ABC sitcom is called Life with Bonnie. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Bonnie Hunt is my guest. She co-created and stars in the new TV series Life with Bonnie. Did you do stand-up early in your career?
No, I never did do stand-up. I've always been an ensemble performer. It's what I love. It's what I'm comforted by. I'm 6 out of 7 children, so I guess it's just what I'm used to. The essence of teamwork is inspiring to me, and I'm constantly motivated by it creatively.
Now, you started an improv group with Joan Cusack, the actress. Why did you want to start your own group? Chicago's famous for its improv groups, including Second City.
Well, I think in the 80s, improvisation was so at the forefront, especially in Chicago and New York. And Second City is a theater that I grew up going to, I mean, since I was 13, 14 years old with my folks. But at the time when I met Joan and Holly Wartell, who's also on my show now, I was a nurse. I worked at Northwestern University in Chicago in the oncology department. But I was an avid Second City fan, and I would go sometimes 2-3 nights a week to see the improvisational sets. And then when the auditions came up, eventually I tried out. But during that time at night, while we were all trying to get into the Second City, Joan Cusack, Holly Wartell, and myself were in a company called An Impulsive Thing. We were the three girls with about 7 guys. And we worked at a place called Bob's Bar, which was across the street from Wrigley Field in Chicago. And it was a fantastic, incredible experience. I'll probably never be able to replicate it. The joy, the teamwork, It was all about putting on a good show. We did 45 minutes of new material nightly. It was kind of a potpourri of the talent of the group, all mixed up together, all the different takes we had on things.
Now, you started your professional life as a nurse with people with cancer. Why did you go into nursing? Did you always really want to go into performing?
I just love to be around people, and I think that performing is kind of like a caregiving situation. I think my patients obviously were truly inspirational. I mean, when you're dealing with people that are at the end of their lives, you are given a gift of a certain perspective that at the age of, you know, 20, 21 years old, you probably would never even cross your mind. So in that respect, I loved being a nurse. I wanted to be a nurse. I gave 150% to being a nurse. But at the same time, I always had this kind of tug, this calling to be an entertainer. I've always loved it. And I was able to do both for a long time. I worked at Second City at night while I worked at the hospital during the day. And then eventually I worked with a patient named Rudy that had only a few weeks to live. And I had been taking care of him for months. And he said to me, "When are you going to go to California and really try to be a writer, director, a storyteller, because that's what you're so good at?" And I was sitting next to his bed talking to him, and I said, "Oh, you know, I'd hate to go and then fail and have to come back and explain everything and then get my job back at the hospital." And he said, "Bonnie, I only have a little time left to live, and I want to tell you the biggest regret in my life is that I feared failure. So I want you to promise me that you will go to California and you will fail many times." And I said, "Okay, Rudy, I will." And I did, and I have.
Did you never go back to nursing after that?
I always went back. I went back for years. I would work over the holidays at the same hospital, and then eventually I moved on to the VA hospital and worked with the vets and continued it for a long time, and now I have a relationship with the doctors that I worked for at Northwestern for fundraising for cancer research.
So when you were a nurse, would you entertain the patients?
The patients really got involved with the fact that I did these shows at night. It added, I think, another and better layer to my skills as a nurse and the heartfelt moments between the patients and myself. I would often bring down the cast from Second City, and we would push the beds into the hallways, and we would do our show in the hallway for all the patients that were terminally ill that weren't on an outpatient basis. And they, in turn, would give me skit ideas that I would bring to the improv set. I would have them videotaped and the next day bring them back to the hospital to say, "Look what we did with your idea." They found great joy in it. They always inspired me and encouraged me. And I was able to give them something else that they could think about just for a moment to forget the anxiety and fear and pain that they might have been in at the time. And I found it just an important part of it. And I believe, you know, certainly I've had so much success because probably I have a lot of guardian angels.
So when you decided to leave the Chicago hospital where you worked and go to LA at the advice of one of your patients, what was your strategy when you got there?
Oh, I didn't have one. I had just been married, and my husband and I agreed that I would go for 6 months and give it a whirl because I had promised Rudy, and my husband thought it would be good for us, that our future, that at least I had given it a shot, and that I wouldn't live in what if I would have tried in years to come. So I went out to L.A. with the Second City Company. They opened a theater there in Santa Monica. I wrote and performed in the first review. And then Second City decided that they were going to do more of a TV format within their improvisational set. I had met Don Lake there. Don and I both agreed that creatively that was so the opposite of what Second City was. Second City for us was the U of C grads in the early 60s that were commenting on what was in the paper that day and what was happening in the country and on the news, and not necessarily trying to do material that would end up as a sitcom. So we were kind of purist and decided that we would give 2 weeks' notice to the theater, which we both did. And it was a terrifying thing to do because it was the only income we had out in L.A. But within weeks, we were both rewarded with jobs on network television, which had its own creative battle. But that's what happened out there. I really didn't have a plan, and I was lucky enough to stay with many friends in exchange for maybe cleaning up the house or, you know, paying the phone bill or whatever I could afford at the time.
My guest is Bonnie Hunt, the co-creator, writer, and star of the new TV series Life with Bonnie. So what was it like growing up with three brothers and three sisters?
Well, it was a joy. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, but I never knew the difference because my mother was always an optimist and in a good mood, and she just set the tone. My father was hardworking, blue-collar, self-taught electrician. He worked 20 hours a day, but he had an incredible gift for storytelling. They were an incredible team. My father died when I was 18. He died from a heart attack, and then the kids just came together, and we all pitched in to make sure that we could keep the house and pay the bills and help take care of my mother, and she in turn helped take care of us. We always had our grandparents live with us when they got old and sick, and we took care of them until they passed away, and they were always in our home. I had an incredible childhood. There was a lot of bad moments and hectic moments and, you know, family politics and what have you, but for the most part, there at the core of it, there was unconditional love, and that's just about all a kid needs.
How many bathrooms did you have in the house?
We had one.
Uh-oh.
And then eventually my dad built another one.
How did so many of you make it out of the house in the morning with only one bathroom?
Or my mom would start ringing the bell. A couple of us were very early risers. My younger sister, Mary, and two of my older brothers were just early birds. And the other ones, you know, we would sleep in. There was just always just a revolving door. And somehow, magically, we would all get out of the house. But we were never, ever, ever on time for anything.
Now, I read that your mother used to sing.
Right. She sang for years. She used to sing on the Morris B. Sachs Radio Hour in Chicago, live from the Merchandise Mart. And she worked at NBC at the Merchandise Mart for years. She wrote for the soap operas and then worked for the president there eventually. Worked with him side by side until she had my first brother. And then she quit. And then, she gave birth to her audience.
Did she sing a lot around the house?
Always. She always sang around the house. And the song that I sang in the second episode of our show, the song Dream, was the song that she would sing at night if we couldn't sleep. And I remember asking her to sing it over and over and over again. She's also great on the piano. She plays by ear. She's just very gifted and talented and, very loving.
Did that inspire you to sing, too? Since she was so free singing around the house, did you grow up singing around the house, too?
The first time I remember singing, where I sang a whole song over and over again, was when our dog, Whiskey, had drowned in Lake Michigan. And I was inconsolable. And my mom said, the only way you're going to stop crying is if you sing, and you have to sing over and over and over again. You just got to keep singing until you stop crying. And I remember I sang You Are My Sunshine with her, and I kept singing it and singing it until I stopped crying. And it was just a valuable, it was nice. I think singing is comforting. At least it was, in my memories.
So, did you try that again as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I still do it till this day.
You sing when you're really sad?
Yes, absolutely.
Is your mother still alive?
Yes, very much so. She's getting a big kick out of this whole experience for me once again, and I hope that within her lifetime I will be able to succeed at one of these television ventures. I think it would do her heart good.
Have you thought about writing in a part for her?
My mom always ends up in everything that I do. Whether she's there in person or just there in character, but she was in Return to Me, the movie that we did for MGM. She had a little part in that, and I would love to bring her out and have her do something.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you. It was a nice interview.
Bonnie Hunt's new sitcom, Life with Bonnie, is broadcast Tuesday nights on ABC. Here's the scene from the series in which she sang Dream.
Dream when you're feeling blue. And they might come true. They never are as bad as they seem.
Well, she sounds good.
So dream, dream, dream.
This is Fresh Air.